Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages,
are you ready?
Give me a hell yeah!
It's showtime, folks!
Hey, everybody, hope you can hear me okay. I'm a little bit loud in my recording studio today, so, I'm going to try to do this way, kind of a little bit of a different method of doing this. But anyway, this is Totally Wrestling with Matt Bolin for the week of April 11th, 2019. And hopefully this is going to work out, but I don't know. Kind of got a different way of doing this today. But anyway, we'll see if this works. And I am your host with the most, as usual, Matt Bolin. Hey, WrestleMania 35 is in the books. Let's talk a little bit about what went down in East Rutherford this past Sunday night. Also, a little teaser here. I said we've got some news about the latest big-time personality to sign with AEW All Elite Wrestling. It's by God, Jim Ross. He's going to be back in the saddle with AEW. So definitely a big, big signing for AEW there. It's about 3:01 right now, just after 3 o'clock, on April 11th, 2019. Recording this edition of Totally Wrestling for broadcast on WBCQ. In Monticello, Maine, shortwave radio, tomorrow night. That would be April 12th, Friday, April 12th, at about 9 p.m. Eastern. And so let's get into it a little bit. Let's talk about, first off, what happened at WrestleMania, how did it go down in East Rutherford? WrestleMania 35 in the books. Well, most of the matches resulted in new champions. So let me tell you about it. The first match on the pre-show that started a couple hours before 7, 5 p.m. Eastern. So it goes about 6 hours of the entire WrestleMania, but go figure. It was the Cruiserweight Championship on the line between champion Buddy Murphy and challenger Tony Nese. Nese able to get the pinfall to win the title. Next up, the Women's Battle Royal. Carmella will take the trophy after eliminating Sarah Logan last in that match. Also, two more matches on the pre-show. The Raw Tag Team Championship, up for grabs. Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder defeated champions The Revival, Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson, to win the Raw Tag Team Championships. And, of course, you have your Andre the Giant Memorial Battle. And in that match, a couple of personalities from Saturday Night Live, including Funny Man Colin Jost, who does a weekend update there. Braun Strowman ending up the winner after knocking Jost out of the ring, eliminating him with the final elimination and winning the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. We'll see what happens with Braun Strowman, whether they push him a little bit more now or what. But then WrestleMania proper got started, the main card, at about 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, this previous Sunday, from MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, just outside of New York. And a surprise for your first match. First match is the Universal Championship on the line between Brock Lesnar, the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, and the Architect, Seth Rollins. Well, Lesnar tried to take Rollins to Suplex City early, by brutally attacking him before the match even got underway, before the bell even rang. But then all of a sudden, Seth Rollins says he's okay to go, and the bell rings, and, well, the referee gets knocked out of the ring as usual. And Rollins capitalizes with a low blow to the Beast. A shocking turn of events there. but a low blow. And then three curb stomps in succession by Rollins. Cover and one, two, three. We've got a new Universal Champion. His name is Seth Rollins. Lesnar and Suplex City have been burnt down. Rollins has burnt it down. Burn it down, Seth Rollins. Yeah, baby. In kind of a dream match, the second match. Dream matchup, anyway. You have AJ Styles defeating the Apex Predator, the Viper, Randy Orton, by pinfall. And then the SmackDown Tag Team Championships are on the line. It's the Usos, Jay and Jimmy, defeating Aleister Black and Ricochet. Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura, that team, along with the lovely Lana. And also defeating Cesaro and Sheamus, the team of the Bar, to win the SmackDown Tag Team Championships in a Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match. So big ups to Jay and Jimmy. Props to them. The Usos have done it again. A little bit of a rivalry match starting up for the next match. Shane McMahon and The Miz. Shane attacked The Miz's father previously on SmackDown. So this is a Falls Count Anywhere match. And Shane O'Mac was able to pull out another victory at WrestleMania, defeating The Miz by pinfall. And next up was a pretty big match here for the Women's Tag Team Championship in a Fatal 4-Way. It was the champions, the Boston Hug Connection, that's Bayley and Sasha Banks, taking on Nia Jax and Tamina, the Divas of Doom, Beth Phoenix and Natalya, and the Iconics, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce. And the Iconics got the victory by pinfall. Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, the new Women's Tag Team Champions. Congratulations to them. And a historic moment in the next match. Kofi Kingston coming out along with Big E and Xavier Woods to take on the champ, Daniel Bryan, who came out with Rowan. This was the WWE Championship, and lo and behold, Kofi gets it done with Trouble in Paradise. And Daniel Bryan had a little trouble in Paradise. Well, if you want to call New Jersey Paradise, no offense to my Jersey listeners. But Kofi Kingston gets it done and becomes only, I believe, the second African-American WWE champion, the first being The Rock, back in the 90s in the Attitude Era. And as far as world champions go in WWE-associated promotions, Bobby Lashley was a ECW World Champion, and Farouk, the man known as Ron Simmons was a WCW World Champion in about 92 or so. He took the title and was a WCW World Champion for a while before he came to WWE as part of the Nation of Domination, and then one half of the APA, Acolyte Protection Agency, Farouk. Definitely a story career for him. But Kofi is number two now, the second African-American WWE Champion as he defeated Daniel Bryan, ending his reign for the WWE Championship. Next match was a pretty good one. Rey Mysterio going up against the big man, Samoa Joe, the Samoan Destroyer, the Samoan Submission Machine. And by submission, Samoa Joe defeated Rey Mysterio to retain the United States Championship. He locked in Coquina Clutch, and it was all over. Mysterio had to submit. Got a little bit of news on him coming up later. Roman Reigns in action defeated Drew McIntyre, again by pinfall. And here's the match I wanted to see. Batista and Triple H in a no-holds-barred match. If Triple H loses, he would have been forced to retire from in-ring competition, Triple H, if he lost. Anyway, Ric Flair shows up, gives Triple H a sledgehammer, and armed with that and his signature pedigree, Triple H defeats Batista. So, hey, Batista, Triple H has now done everything. He just beat you. And the Intercontinental... No, that's the next match after that. Kurt Angle's farewell match was up next. Baron Corbin defeated him by pinfall. Kind of an anticlimactic finish, but that's kind of the way it should have happened, I think. And in the Intercontinental Championship, the Demon, Finn Balor, defeats Bobby Lashley with Leo Rush to win the Intercontinental Championship by pinfall. Next, we had a little bit of a musical interlude, as Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Joan Jett and her band, the Blackhearts, a live performance of Bad Reputation in East Rutherford, and they introduced Ronda Rousey. Personally, as a music fan, I thought the performance there of that reputation was a little, seemed a bit off. I mean, Joan Jett sounded like her voice has seen better days. Personally, I know that she used to rock back in the 80s and 90s, but she must be like 60 years old now, and she's trying to rock out up there on the stage. Seemed a little bit off, but she might have had some audio problems too. I don't know. That's the way it goes sometimes. You can't predict everything that's going to happen live, and that's the beauty of it. But anyway, she played in Ronda Rousey with Bad Reputation. And interestingly enough, we had a helicopter arrival for the entrance of Charlotte Flair into the arena. Just outside the arena, the helicopter lands, and she gets out and marches on in. But in the main event, the winner takes all women's triple threat match for both the Raw and SmackDown Women's Championships. The champions, the Raw champion Ronda Rousey, SmackDown champion Charlotte Flair, defeated by challenger Becky Lynch, the Irish last kicker, getting it done and taking it all at WrestleMania. In the first ever women's main event, she is now Raw and SmackDown Women's World Champion in WWE. Other notes from WrestleMania. Ronda Rousey hurt her hand a little bit during the match, severe injury to her hand, as she was going to be off WWE programming for a while anyway. She'll be absent for the foreseeable future. And as I said, Batista going down to Triple H, he formally retires after the match. Pretty much, I guess it was just a send-off. Didn't want him to go out on his own terms, and he did. Great career for him. And The Undertaker did not appear at WrestleMania. He was in the area, but didn't appear. at WrestleMania. But the next night, the usual Raw after WrestleMania, the next night, Undertaker shows up and attacks Elias during one of his possible musical performances in the center of the ring. I don't think so, Elias. Nobody wants to hear that anyway. But Undertaker kicking the proverbial shiznit out of Elias, and that was his appearance. He could be doing some more stuff shortly on WWE television, though. So we'll see what's up with that. And so that was WrestleMania 35 for you. From MetLife Stadium, home of the Giants, the New York Giants, and the New York Jets, and the NFL, in East Rutherford, New Jersey, in the shadow of NYC. A great event. I thought it was pretty darn good this year. Better than last year, I'd say. Of course, NXT does their thing, and that's sometimes even better than WrestleMania. But I think WrestleMania maybe took the highlight of the weekend award this year. But anyway, we're talking here on Totally Wrestling with your host with the most. Yours truly, Matt Bowen. We've got about 43 minutes left in the show after we just did our WrestleMania 35 recap, some historic stuff going down at WrestleMania this year. And WrestleMania 36 scheduled for April 2020 from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay, Florida, in Tampa, Florida, which is, of course, home of the NFL's Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But that's the site for WrestleMania 36 next year, April 2020. And big event for WWE coming up in my local area, the southern Connecticut area, the Connecticut area, the tri-state area, and everything. Money in the Bank is going to come from the XL Center in Hartford, Connecticut this year. Maybe I can still get a ticket to Money in the Bank. I don't know. I'll check out the website. I'll check out Ticketmaster and everything and all the tickets. Maybe I can get a ticket. If so, maybe I'll give you a first-hand report from Money in the Bank at the XL Center, Hartford, Connecticut. It's the next big pay-per-view coming up in May. And so, I think I want to go into my Raw Thoughts segment for the week. On recent shows, I've been presenting my opinions and my points of view on certain things going on in the universe of professional wrestling. And this week I want to address with my Raw Thoughts some recent remarks on WWE made by television show host and commentator John Oliver, who has a show of his on HBO entitled Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. I wanted to share with you my personal take on his commentary, which is pretty much to the effect of, well, WWE is dangerous, they take all these risks, they do awful things, and maybe we should have a change here, and some of this stuff should not be permitted. And for years, commentators have done that. They've seen fit to criticize pro wrestling. In the 1980s, it was the Morton Downey Jr. show, if anybody remembers that show. Two-bit, professional wrestlers came on the show and talked about how, oh, WWE is inherently racist and we don't get the money. And some guys don't get the money or the push. And that was an interesting conversation. And in the 90s, Phil Mushnick of the New York Post took a few pot shots at both WWE and WCW. And then, if you remember this, back in the 2000s, the Parents Television Council, called the Parents Television Council, pretty much sought to remove pro wrestling from TV altogether, and they almost succeeded in doing it. You had the rise of the Right to Censor stable, the annoying guys who always said it's for your own good, coming up in that time, kind of a parody of the Parents Television Council. But Oliver's comments aren't exactly breaking news. It's been happening for years. And on his show, he called out the WWE a couple weeks ago, advancing what I would call the Bob Costas argument. If you remember Bob Costas going at it with Vince McMahon on another HBO show, I think it was called On the Record with Bob Costas. If you remember that, then you're probably familiar with the Bob Costas argument. Just let me explain this, that the people who compete in the wrestling ring are forced to take dangerous risks is the first pretty much contention, and they shouldn't be permitted to do that. Yeah, of course they take risks. They risk severe injury from the moves that they perform in the ring, which are real, by the way. But these are calculated risks as opposed to total nonsensical risks. And the wrestler himself or herself decides to do those moves of their own free will. They're not being physically forced to get in the ring. The wrestlers do it because they want to do it, and they want to entertain the fans. And, well, I might understand Oliver's point of view if they were incapable of making decisions for themselves, but realizing that most of them can and do make their own choices, I don't think it's John Oliver's call to make those choices for the wrestlers. It's not his decision. And the other part of the debate here centers on, we're talking about certain actions and attitudes that some people are like, oh my God, why are they doing this? This is awful. And in the past, this happened. There's been accusations of the objectification of women, perceived bias against African Americans and Hispanics. You can go look up the Kerwin White storyline of Chavo Guerrero Jr. if you want to see a example of this. And myself included, some people see this as objectionable or stuff that young kids shouldn't see. But again, I would say it falls to the parents of that kid to decide what the kid is going to watch or not watch, permitted, not permitted to watch. And it's not Mr. Oliver's call to decide this. And part three of my argument here. Now, John Oliver and others say that this shouldn't be on primetime television. Like a Monday Night Raw on primetime television. Well, let's compare Monday Night Raw to some other popular television programs like Game of Thrones on HBO or The Blacklist. There's stuff going on there in the ring and everything that you might not find totally acceptable. But there is a big-time difference between what happens on the shows and actual real life. You see, there's a scripted aspect to wrestling programming, and the longtime fan like myself knows that. The men and women of the business, they portray different characters. Some of them are likable, some of them aren't. Some of them say things that are unacceptable, some of them don't. They take the high road. It's no different from any other show. And as I say here, quite frankly, if you're of the opinion that pro wrestling is completely real, then much like a non-used mid-carder, I have nothing for you. little quote there. Yeah, as Vince McMahon says, pro wrestling isn't everyone's cup of tea, but nobody's forcing you to watch the show. If you don't like it, you have the right to switch stations or turn the TV off. And there are a great many people who get a lot of enjoyment out of watching the whole Raw and SmackDown thing. I'll beat you up, you beat me up, you put me through a table. So I'm saying, why is Mr. Oliver, the commentator here, trying to step on these people's rights and tell them what they can and can't watch? He's kind of coming off to me as one of those holier-than-thou elitists who tell you what you can and can't do. If you don't like it, you think that it's offensive, well, viewer discretion is advised, and that's my raw thoughts on that controversy. Maybe John Oliver should take WWE up on their invitation and go to see an actual event. I don't think he really knows completely what he's talking about, so there you go. Viewer discretion is advised. Moving on, with about 33 minutes to go on the show. Geez, we have that much time? I might have to cover some things twice. But you just heard my raw thoughts for the week concerning John Oliver and his recent remarks on WWE. So let's go into now this date in professional wrestling history. And if you want to talk to me about your opinion on John Oliver, WWE, anything going on in the pro wrestling universe, the phone number, a little bit different today, as I'm doing this two different ways. But the phone number is 605-562-0444, 605-562-0444. And I think with that, you'll actually have to put in the show ID, which I will give to you right now, 446-3620, 446-3620, and a PIN. It's a little complicated on this other platform, 851-2821, 851-2821. But I'd love to take your calls and hear your opinions at about 3:28 p.m. Eastern Time on April 11th, Thursday, April 11th, 2019. We're talking WrestleMania. We're talking news and reviews and rants from other commentators. And now we're talking this date in pro wrestling history. I should have some kind of music for this, but I don't. April 11th in professional wrestling history. We have a few birthday shout-outs. We'll get to that. But April 11th, 22 years ago, 1997, we have Vader, the late Vader, Big Van Vader, being detained in Kuwait. He attacked a Kuwaiti TV host, the host of the Kuwaiti morning show, Good Morning Kuwait, after he took a little bit of offense at the host's questions and comments on the show. He was like, it was a whole thing about the one question you never, ever ask a professional wrestler. Is professional wrestling fake? So Vader beats him up a little, attacks him, and says, does that feel fake? Does that feel freaking fake, buddy? I can tell you, not from personal experience, but what they do in the ring, it's not fake. It's real moves. They're actually slapping and hitting and kicking each other. So that's the one question you never ask a professional wrestler. You never want to ask them if you meet them. Is what you do fake? You'll get your butt beat. But that happened 22 years ago in 1997. 20 years ago, 1999, April 11th, 1999, World Championship Wrestling, WCW, presented Spring Stampede 1999 at the Tacoma Dome in Tacoma, Washington. Attendance for the event being 17,690. In the Tacoma Dome, Tacoma, Washington. And what went down during that event, some big things. But the main event, Diamond Dallas Page winning the WCW World Heavyweight Championship from the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Woo! And also defeating Hollywood Hulk Hogan and Sting in the process to win Flair's WCW World Heavyweight Championship in a fatal four-way match. DDP Diamond Cutter in the pin. That was 20 years ago, 1999, April 11th, 1999, from the Tacoma Dome in Tacoma, Washington. Attendance, 17,690. And now we'll go into 2010. April 11th, 2010, 9 years ago. Historic Texas Stadium, the home of the Dallas Cowboys, and many events in WCCW World Class Championship Wrestling. Their big champion was always Terry Von Erich. The Texas Tornado in WWE, but WCCW, a lot of events were held there. It was imploded in Irving, Texas. Now the site of AT&T Stadium, which was the home of WrestleMania 32, which I got to see in person. And also a really big vacant lot. April 11th, 2010, 9 years ago, Texas Stadium imploded. And 8 years ago, April 11th, 2011, the reigning World Heavyweight Champion at that time, WWE, World Heavyweight Champion Edge, he announced that he was being forced to retire due to chronic neck injury. He had to vacate the WWE World Heavyweight Championship due to those injuries and his retiring. April 11th, 2011, 8 years ago. Sorry, a little sidetracks here. So that's what happened 8 years ago, 9 years ago, 20 years ago, and 22 years ago on this date in professional wrestling history, April 11th, 97, 99, 2010, and 2011. And along with that, we've got some birthday shout-outs to hurl out there. Let's give a birthday shout-out to Daivari, the man known as Daivari in WWE. He's only 30 years old today. Just 30? That's younger than I am. A lot younger. But happy 30th birthday to Daivari. Born this date, April 11th, 1989. Daivari of WWE fame. He appeared for a short time as Sheikh Mohammed or something in TNA Impact. But he is 30 years old today. Happy birthday, Daivari. And another name you might know. For years, he's been performing as Goldust, Dustin Rhodes. His 50th birthday today, the big 5-0 for Dustin Rhodes. Born this date, April 11th. 1969, down in Georgia, or was it Texas on that one? I don't know. I have to double-check my source. But April 11th, 1969, so it's his 50th birthday. Happy birthday, Dustin Rhodes, and many more. And our final birthday shout-out of the week is going to one of the greatest professional wrestlers in professional wrestling history. He definitely knew how to do it. Multi-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion, United States Champion, former WWE King of the Ring, the very first, I believe. King Harley Race today is 76 years old. An old timer. But he was born on this day, April April 11th, 1943, which makes him, if I'm right with my math, right, 76 years old. Former WWE King of the Ring, either the first or second, I'm not sure. But one of the best NWA World Heavyweight Champions of all time, one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time. He introduced a lot of people to the business, too. Had rivalries with Ric Flair, with Dusty Rhodes, and some others. Harley Race, 76 years old, on this date, April 11th, 2019. And a happy birthday to Dustin Rhodes as well. Turning the big 5-0, 50 years old, April 11th, 1969, his birthday. Happy birthday to you three, Daivari, Dustin Rhodes, and Harley Race. I think I'll go over, again, the little recap here of WrestleMania. WrestleMania 35 was Sunday. Sunday, April 7th, 2019. The main card kicked off at 7 p.m. Eastern Time from MetLife Stadium, home of the NFL New York Giants and New York Jets in East Rutherford, New Jersey, as they said, the shadow of New York City, the Big Apple. And so if you missed it, let me go over what happened. If you missed my previous feature on it, let me give you the recap. As we do have a little bit of time here, so I'll kill some time with the recap. And maybe once again going into Raw thoughts later. But if you want to discuss WrestleMania or anything else going on in WWE, AEW, or the universe of professional wrestling as a whole, feel free to call up. Love to hear from you. And the phone number is today. Give them phone number right now because I'm doing this on multiple platforms. But I guess I can take you on the Blog Talk Radio platform. The number there is, as usual, 323-870-4079. It's 323-870-4079. And on my other platform that I'm using today, which is TalkShoe, you can find me at TalkShoe. The phone number there is 605-562-0444. That's 605-562-4444. No, sorry, wrong number. 605-562-0444. I was reading it wrong. 605-562-0444. And you'll have to enter a show ID, a little bit complicated on this other platform, but the show ID, 4463620, that's 4463620, and then on PIN as well, three different steps, huh? Making it complicated. But the PIN is 8512821, that's 8512821. Or you can just call me on Blog Talk Radio right here, 323-870-4079. 323-870-4079. Make that a lot simpler, a lot more simple, a lot easier to call on Blog Talk Radio. So we'll see if we can get any callers there. I'm trying to upload a sound here, so if I seem distracted for a second, I'm sorry. I'm kind of busy trying to upload sound here. I should have uploaded it before the show, but that's the way it goes. Let's see if I can find it. I don't think I can find it at the moment, but I'll try that. Multitasking here. But the number 323-870-4079, as I said, love to hear from you if you've got any news, views, or opinions on professional wrestling. And so, again, we'll go through the recap of WrestleMania 35.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
The recap. So starting off on the pre-show, Buddy Murphy, the Cruiserweight Champion, defeated by challenger Tony Nese. Nese now wins the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. The title is his. Second match was the Women's Battle Royal. Carmella last eliminated Sarah Logan to win the Women's Battle Royal trophy. Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder in action, defeating the Revival, Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson, to win the Revival's Raw Tag Team Championship. And in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and Colin Jost of Saturday Night Live was the last elimination by the victor and Andre the Giant Battle Royal winner, Braun Strowman. Let's see if WWE gives them a little bit of a push now. In a surprise first match, thought this was going to be one of the main events, but it was the first match on the main WrestleMania card. I guess Brock Lesnar wanted to get out of town, go to Vegas or something. That's what Paul Heyman said. So we're going to do this now, he said. We're not waiting. We're going to take care of our business. Not quite. As Seth Rollins managed to burn down Suplex City. And so the Architects, Seth Rollins, defeating the Beast Incarnate and the WWE Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar. For Lesnar's Universal Championship, new Universal Champion Seth Rollins. Congratulations to him. AJ Styles defeating in what I would call a dream matchup. Styles hitting Orton with the phenomenal elbow, and that was it to cover for the 1-3. And the Usos were in action against Aleister Black and Ricochet. Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura with Lana, the lovely, ravishing Rush Lana, managing that team, and Cesaro and Sheamus, the bar. And the SmackDown Tag Team Championship in the hands of the Usos, Jimmy and Jay, after they won in that fatal four-way tag team match. They have captured the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. In a big, intense WrestleMania rivalry match, The Miz was defeated by Shane McMahon, Shane O'Mac, in a Falls Count Anywhere match, of course, on SmackDown Tuesday night. Shane McMahon gloating, "Oh, I'm the best in the world!" Bust out the CM Punk chants. Anyway, Shane O'Mac, Shane McMahon defeating The Miz in that Falls Count Anywhere match. And the Women's Tag Team Championship on the line between the champs, the Boss and Hug Connection. That's Bayley and Sasha Banks. The team of the Divas of Doom, Beth Phoenix, a returning Beth Phoenix. Nice to see her back. And Natalya. The team of Nia Jax and Tamina. And the Iconics, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce. And it was the Iconics taking the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship from Bayley and Sasha Banks, the Boston Hug Connection. getting the victory in that match by default. And in your historic WWE Championship match, Daniel Bryan defending the title against Kofi Kingston, who came in with Big E and Xavier Woods for the match. And historic matchup, historic title change. Kofi Kingston becoming only the second ever African-American WWE champion. You may remember that Bobby Lashley was an ECW world champion. And Ron Simmons, before he was Farouk in WWE, before he came over, he was simply Ron Simmons in WCW. And in 1992, he won the WCW World Championship. He was the World Heavyweight Champion over in World Championship Wrestling, WCW. Kofi Kingston now joining them and joining The Rock as a world champion, as he took the title from Daniel Bryan with Trouble in Paradise Sunday night at WrestleMania. Your winner and new WWE champion, Kofi Kingston. Howard Finkel will eat your heart out. But definitely, congratulations to Kofi Kingston. It's been a long time coming. He's been in WWE for a long time, and now he's got top prize, the WWE Championship. Next up, the U.S. Championship. Samoa Joe retaining it by defeating Mr. 619, Rey Mysterio, by submission. Locking in the, let's see if I can pronounce this right, the Queen, King of Clutch. That's a hard one for me, but anyway. And in the next match, just a little filler match, I guess, Roman Reigns defeated Drew McIntyre. Batista goes down in the no-holds-barred match to Triple H. And the stipulation being, if Triple H had lost, he would have been forced to retire from in-ring competition. Well, I guess his career is not over because he just beat Batista. And after the match, Batista took the time to formally retire and thank the WWE Universe. Classy. And a great career for Batista. And in Kurt Angle's retirement slash farewell match, he lost by pinfall to Baron Corbin on Corbin's signature move, The End of Days. And so a good way for Kurt Angle to wrap up his in-ring career. One should have lost in a different way, I don't know, but that's a good end for it, I think. Well, Finn Balor came in his demon persona to WrestleMania and defeated the Intercontinental Champion, Bobby Lashley, taking his Intercontinental Championship. Lashley's Intercontinental Championship. I probably think there would be a rematch somewhere down the line. There's no automatic rematches anymore. They eliminated that part of the contracts. But I'm thinking there might be a rematch of this event, of this match, of the Intercontinental Championship coming somewhere down the line. Maybe even triple threat with Leo Rush. We'll see. And as I said before, I thought the Joan Jett and the Blackhearts performance of Bad Reputation, Hall of Famer Joan Jett and her band the Blackhearts performing at WrestleMania, I thought it was a little off. You know, Joan Jett definitely rocked back in the 80s and 90s, but being, I'd say, over 60 or something, it's not that her voice is always bad, but this time it didn't quite sound right. I don't know if there were audio problems or what they had to deal with there or whether she was just tired or saying, let me pick up a paycheck and get out of here. I don't know what the deal was, but it sounded a little off to me. Not a four-star, not five-star review of that one, but she plays Bad Reputation and plays in Ronda Rousey, who takes part in the next match the winner-takes-all women's triple threat match for both the Raw and SmackDown Women's Championships. And interesting, Charlotte Flair's entrance via helicopter landing outside the stadium, and she walks right in. But Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey, the SmackDown and Raw Women's Champions, respectively, were defeated by the Irish Last Kicker, Becky Lynch. Congratulations, Becky, on achieving your dream at WrestleMania. In the main event, winner takes all women's triple threat match. Some more notes from WrestleMania weekend. During that title match, Ronda Rousey hurt her hand a little bit, had a pretty good injury to her hand. She was scheduled to not be, wasn't scheduled to be on WWE programming for a little while. She's going to take a little break, at least a little break. But due to the hand injury, she'll be absent. That's going to force her to be absent as well. They're saying for the foreseeable future, she will not be on WWE television. But she was taking a little break, at least. Anyway, so, but we won't see her for a while. As I said, Batista formally retiring after the match with Triple H and thanking the WWE Universe for their support. A great career by the Animal, Batista. And Undertaker doesn't make his usual appearance at WrestleMania. He didn't appear this time on the ring and the stage of them all. But on the next night's Raw, Monday Night Raw, he shows up and attacks Elias when Elias tries to sing again. I don't think that's working out for you too well, is it, buddy, Elias? So, Undertaker with a tombstone. We'll see him, I think, again shortly. And also, Rey Mysterio, he said after that match with, who was it, Samoa Joe? That he'll probably be retiring soon. What he actually said was that the schedule, keeping up the schedule, is a little more difficult than it had been in his younger days, of course. Mysterio saying that he could still go, but that, and this is a quote from him, he definitely doesn't see himself doing it, doing the whole wrestling thing much longer. But he says he has a good few matches, a decent amount of matches still in his tank, gas tank, so to speak. Well, it's about 3:53 p.m. Eastern Time on April 11th, 2019. The next Totally Wrestling show next week is a Totally Music Week on April 18th, when I'll be recording for April 19th. But the next time we'll be doing this, Totally Wrestling, is our usual time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on April 25th, Thursday, April 25th, 2019, coming up in 2 weeks. As usual, it airs 9 p.m. the following night, Friday night, on WVCQ Shortwave Radio, Free Speech Radio out of Monticello, Maine. And again, a shout out and hello to all my friends up there, Alan and Rob and everybody. But that's our next show. April 25th is in the next Totally Wrestling on WVCQ Shortwave Radio. And that'll be, like I said, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. 0 hours, if you go with Europe time, Greenwich Mean Time, Universal Time Coordinates, or whatever they call it. So 0 hours on, that would actually be on, if you're over there and using Greenwich Mean Time, it would be Saturday morning, the 13th of April. But for us, 9 p.m. Eastern on, I'm sorry, that would be the 27th of April for you European guys, European listeners. But for us, It'll be recorded at 3 p.m. Eastern, Thursday afternoon, April 25th, for airplay on WBCQ at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday night, April 26th. Same bat time, same bat channel. Be there. So how much time do we have here? We have about 2 minutes. Quickly, let me go through the birthday shout-outs. For this date in pro wrestling history, April 11th, on April 11th, 1989, Daivari of WWE and TNA Impact. He was born on this date in 1989, 30 years old for him. Goldust, Dustin Rhodes, the great Dustin Rhodes. It's the big 5-0 for him. 50 years, as he was born on this date, April 11th, 1969. And on NWA fame, one of the greatest professional wrestlers ever, and first or second WWE King of the Ring, it's Harley Race, King Harley Race, turning 76 years old today, born April 11th, 1943, on this date, 76 years ago. So, a shout-out to him, Daivari, Dustin Rhodes, Harley Race. Happy birthdays, people. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to all of you guys and many, many more, hopefully. So, how much time do we have? Maybe a minute, tops. So, we're going to wrap it up here on Totally Wrestling with Matt Boland. Thanks, everybody, for listening again, whether you're listening online, whether you're listening to Blog Talk or Talk Shoe or on WBCQ Radio, shortwave radio out of Monticello, Maine. Thanks, everybody, very much for listening. We'll be back, same bat time, same bat channel, for Totally Wrestling, another episode on Thursday, April 25th, 3 p.m. Eastern. We'll be recording for airplay on WBCQ Friday, April 26th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 0 hours UTC time. And until then, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll play our theme and get out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls,
as I said, thank you very much for listening today, everybody. We'll be back in another couple weeks with another edition of Totally Wrestling. Keep it in the ring.